produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. And as I prepare to give you the verses, I want to go ahead and let you know that this particular incident in the Bible is very familiar. It won't be strange to you when I read it, but I want to just make you aware of something from this particular biblical account. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, beginning with verse 25 and concluding and reading down and ending at the end of verse 34. And it reads, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell at his down before him and told him all the truth." And then verse 34. "And he said unto her, daughter, thou faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thou plague." I want to go back to verse 28, and I want to read verse 30 again. Verse 28 says, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And then verse 30, I want to go back to that verse. And verse 30 says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes?" I want to share with you from this thought on today, the Lord's healing touch. That's what I want to talk about, the Lord's healing touch. May be seated in the presence of the Almighty God, the Lord's healing touch. As I prepare to go into this message on today, I want to put you on notice that when I talk about the Lord's healing touch, I don't want you to exclude yourself or remove yourself from this message, because it sounds as if it's only talking to those that are sick in their bodies, for those who may have an ailment or an infirmity. So when we talk about the Lord's healing touch, I want you to know that God is concerned about whatever concerns you. You can be ill in a number of ways. It's not always just being ill in your body. It's not always about not feeling well. It's not always about not feeling good. God is concerned about everything that bothers you. I realize when we think of healing, we think of just sickness itself. But God is not only concerned about the healing in your body, but the healing in your life totally. So whatever is bothering you, that can become an illness. It can bother you. It can trouble you. It can cause you to lose sleep at night. It can cause you to toss and turn and be concerned about the things that are going awry in your life. And you'll find yourself stressed out over the things that are going on in your life. But God is not only concerned about the healing in your body, but everything in your life. We talk about the healing in your body, that becomes understandable. When we talk about, Lord, heal me in my body, heal my headache, and heal my arthritis, and heal my heart problems, and heal cancer, heal tumors, that's understandable. But what about the other things that are bothering us in our lives? What about our relationships? I want you to know that God can heal relationships. What about in our home? When the devil comes in our home and we have problems with family members, we have problems with our children, and nobody is sick physically, but we are sick mentally and spiritually. And God can even bring a healing in your home. What about our finances? Oh, you've been to the gas pump lately. You know what I'm talking about when our money gets funny and our change is strange. What do we talk about? What do? When we need God to help us with our finances, I want you to know, my sisters and my brothers, that God can heal your finances. What about my family? You talked about my home, brother preacher, but what about my children and what about my loved ones when it seems like the devil is running havoc in their lives? I want you to know that God can bring a healing even in your family. What about my everyday life? When it seems like I'm minding my own business and I'm going about my own way, and it seems like the devil is running havoc in my life, I want you to know and understand that God will heal you even in the matters of your life. Well, let me bring it even closer, brother preacher. What about even in the church? When we have problems in the church, when it seems like members won't act right, when it seems like even the clergy, in your opinion, won't act right, I want you to know that God can even bring healing in the body of Christ. Yeah. Look at what Jesus said when he came on the scene and he began to preach. And Jesus now is going to preach his first sermon. Jesus now has come on the scene and he's been baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And John, realizing who Jesus is, saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Why would John proclaim that? Because sin brought about problems in our lives. Now Jesus now comes, he's baptized. And what does Jesus do? The Bible says that he's led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he fasts for 40 days and for 40 nights. And there the devil comes to tempt him, tempting the word of God. But Jesus overcomes the devil. And where does he go when he leaves that? The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16, it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I'm going to go further. Let me explain this to you. The Bible is saying that even the word went to church. Oh, my God. The word, Jesus Christ being the word, went to church. Synagogue was a symbol of what we do now when we come to worship and praise God. Synagogue was like a local place where they would come and to worship God. It was not the temple, but it was the synagogue. The synagogue was in their local neighborhoods, but the temple was in Jerusalem. There was really only one temple because God had commanded certain times of the year for them to go to Jerusalem to the temple. But the synagogue was the place they would go week after week to give God praise and to give God glory. The Bible says, as it was his custom. In other words, Jesus had a habit of going to church. It was his custom. As his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day was the day that they would come and go and worship and praise God. And the Bible says, and stood up for to read. In other words, it was the custom that they would pass the word of God for somebody to read there in the synagogue. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. The prophet Esaias is nothing more than the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah was a major prophet used by God. He was a major prophet because he wrote the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is known as the eagle-eyed prophet because God gave him vision to look into the future of what would happen to his people. He was known as the redemptive prophet because he talks about the redeeming policies and the redeeming power of God. So the Bible says he read from the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what I want you to understand. Verse 19 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised. That's the Lord's healing power. Let me go back through that again. When we talk about the Lord's healing power, the Lord's healing touch, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus, how can you say the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? Well, go back to what I told you a moment ago when John was baptizing in the River Jordan. When he looked up and saw Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus came down to the River Jordan and told John, I have need to be baptized of you. John had already preached that one would come after me to baptize you in the power of God, to baptize you in fire. He said, I'm baptizing you in water, but the one coming after me, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals. He said, I must decrease that he may increase. So now Jesus shows up on the scene. He goes now to the River Jordan and John takes him down in the river and baptizes him. The Bible says that when Jesus came up out of the water, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon him in the form of a heavenly dove. And the Father spoke, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Remember, I told you that after he was baptized, that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness there. So now when he reads in the Bible, in the scroll rather, in the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's not talking about the poor, those without finances. He's talking about the poor, that those have been alienated from God. He says to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is good news. The good news is that God is willing to help you and God is willing to be there for you and that the Lord has a healing touch. So he says that I'm here to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You ever had a broken heart? Those that you love and those that you cared about and they treat you in a harmful way. He's saying, I can heal your broken heart. I can heal the things that are going astray in your life and those things that are going wrong in your life. He said that I can heal your broken heart. And then he said to preach deliverance to the captives. What he means by preaching deliverance to the captives, what he's saying is that you've been bound by the devil. You've been bound by Satan all these long years. But I read in the Bible where it says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I want you to know that he can loose the shackles off your feet. He can loose the fetters off your feet. He can make the devil behave because the Bible says that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard slander against him. In other words, the devil has no power over your life because of the Lord's healing touch. And then recovering of sight to the blind. Yes, he did open blinded eyes, but I want you to understand that when you're blinded spiritually, what do you mean by being blinded spiritually? Well, what did the hymnist say when he wrote Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. In other words, he can open up your spiritual eyes. He can open up your eyes so that you can see the power of God, so you can see the love of God, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty to them that are bruised. Well, what is a bruise? A bruise is nothing more than where you've been hurt. A bruise is nothing more than where something happened to you. But the Lord is saying that I can set at liberty to the thing that hurts you. Whatever in life that has bothered you, whatever in life that has troubled you, I want you to understand that the Lord has a healing touch. And then he goes on and say to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and shut down. Oh my God, what a service to be in when Jesus gets up and reads the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying the word read the word. In other words, Jesus is the word of God, because John said that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He goes on and say that the word became flesh and it tabernacled among us. In other words, it dwelt among us. So when Jesus walked into the synagogue, the word of God was walking into the synagogue. So when Jesus opened up the word, it was the word getting ready to read the word. So when Jesus read the word, it was the word of God coming out of his mouth. And the Bible says that he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down, and all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your eyes. And I want to serve notice on you today, that today this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes, the Lord's healing touch. And if you want to be healed, if you want to be blessed, if you want God to do it for you, I want you to know that you're in the right place at the right time to receive a miracle in your life, to receive what you need from God, because they that come to God, and God will not send you away empty, because he is that kind of God. The praise team sang a moment ago that he is able, and I want you to know that he's yet able, because the Bible says that now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you may ask or think, according to the power that worketh through us. Well, what is that power? He said, I've given you power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you can lay hands on yourself right now and claim everything that's going wrong in your life. You can claim everything in your life, that God will make a way, that God will do what he said. In fact, lay hands on yourself right now and say, I receive the miracle that I need, and I receive the healing that I need. Some of you won't even touch your own self. You better learn to lay hands on yourself, because the Bible says that one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. So when I lay hands on myself, I'm saying, Lord, I know you're able. I'm saying, Lord, can't nobody do me like God. Can't nobody bless me like God. And the Bible reminds us that what God is able to do. Well, let me help you here as I go further into this message, because I told you I wouldn't be before you long. So how does God do it? How how does God heal? How does an almighty God, in all of his splendor, in all of his majesty, how can God, as powerful as he is, as wonderful as he is, as unlimited as he is, how can God look down on little old me and look down on little old you when God has so many things that are going on in the universe? We got wars and rumors of wars. We got famine in the land. So how does God have the time to see about me and to see about you? So how does God heal? I want to give you four ways. The four ways that God can heal and the four ways that God will heal. The first way that God heals, he heals in the natural. The way he has made our bodies, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, we are God's greatest creation. So how does God heal in the natural? He has so made our bodies that if I accidentally cut my finger, in a few days it'll heal itself. Well, how does God do that? Let me show you what God does in the body. Not to make this anatomy 101, not to make this biology 101. What God does when there's a trauma in the body, the brain begins to identify the problem in the body, and nerves will send word to the brain, there's a problem over here. You're going to get this in just a moment. And the brain will begin to talk to the blood. The brain will tell the blood, now white blood cells, I need you to go to that area, and down in that area is a problem over there. And the white blood cells, they go to that area, and you develop what's called pulse. Well, let me explain you what happens. What makes pulse is the white blood cells, they're willing to go and die to help you get better. You're going to get it in just a moment. So the white blood cells, they begin to die so you can get better. And the brain said, wait a minute, I'm not through with the blood. It tells the red blood cells, I need you to go take oxygen there. I need you to go take energy there so they can get better. So God has so fixed it in the natural that the blood will heal my body. And somebody said, what can make me whole? What can heal me and make me whole? It's nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. And what can save my soul? It's nothing but the blood. And then the second way that God heals is mentally. I used to hear the folks say, touch the mind, Lord. Touch the mind, Lord. So he heals in the mental. He heals in the psychological. He heals the mind. He heals by counseling. And I read in my Bible, let this mind that be in Christ Jesus be also in you. I read in my Bible, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So sometimes the devil will try to afflict our minds. He'll have us depressed. He'll have us worried. He'll have us concerned. But God is saying, don't worry, beloved. I can touch your mind. I can heal your mind so you can have peace in your life. Well, what is that peace? It's Jehovah Shalom. He's a God of peace. And then the third way that God will heal, God has given us medicine. And God can heal through medication. And God can heal through surgery. I tell the people all the time, yes, when I'm ill in my body, but pray for me and pray while I'm on my way to the doctor, because I'm so deep and wonderful that I don't think that God can heal. healed through a doctor. After all, if God can use Luke, who was a physician, to write a gospel, surely God can use a doctor to help heal us in our body. There are a lot of people who take the medicine and they don't get better, but God is still doing the healing. So God heals through medicine. And the fourth way, as I hurry on with this, that God heals with a miracle. Well, how does God heal with a miracle? It's through God's divine touch. Well, what is a miracle? I shared this with you on many times. I tell you what a miracle is. By a definition in the dictionary, what is a miracle? It's nothing more than a sign. It's nothing more than a wonder. But that's not good enough for me. Telling me that a miracle is nothing more than a sign. It's nothing more than a wonder. And somebody said, he's a sweet wonder in my soul. It sounds real good. But let me tell you something else about a miracle that God gave me many years ago. I remember as being a student in my seminary days. And I remember the professor asking, what is a miracle? And student after student, they tried to define what a miracle is, but nobody could give a definition that was strong enough where the professor could not refute what they said. And then it came my time to ask me, what is a miracle? And God gave me this many years ago. He said, my son, tell them this is what a miracle is. A miracle is God's divine intervention, bringing about God's divine will that normally would not occur. And everybody said, wait a minute, say that again. I said, a miracle is God's divine intervention, bringing about God's divine will that normally would not occur. Let me break it down to this for you. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would have died and been in my grave. If it had not been for the Lord making a way, the devil would have had me, because the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So if you need a miracle from God, get ready for your miracle because of the Lord's healing touch. And I can tell you about others. Adam and Eve, they can tell you how God healed them. They had sinned in the Garden Eden, and there they were in the garden. They were lost in sin, but God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And I want you to understand that with the problems in your life, God will walk in your life. Yes, he will. You don't know how you're going to get out of it, but I hear God saying, I'll walk in your life. I'll make a way out of no way. I'll be a bridge over troubled water. I'll bring you out of that thing. And God walked in the garden and they hid from God. But God asked them, why did you hide? They said, we are naked. Who told you you were naked? And God realized there was a problem. So whenever there's a problem in your life, God can solve that problem with the Lord's healing touch. And Adam and Eve would tell you that we had hid ourselves with fig leaves. And that's what we're trying to do now. We're trying to hide ourselves with fig leaves. We're trying to hide ourselves by making excuses. We're trying to hide ourselves by disobeying God. And what did God do? He took away the fig leaves and gave them coats of skin. And what is God saying? I'll cover up your mess, the mess that you made. I'll take your mess and I'll give you a message. I'll take what's wrong with you and I'll bring you out. And Moses would tell you, it came a time in the lives of the children of Israel, they disobeyed God, it angered God, and God sent fiery serpents among the camp, and the serpents begin to bite them, and they begin to die, and they called on Moses, and God told Moses, he said, go make a serpent and make it of brass and put it on a pole and lift it up, and everybody that will look up at that serpent on the pole, they will be healed. And the people begin to look up, and God begin to heal them. That's why now in modern medicine, they have a symbol of a pole with two serpents on it, symbolizing healing. And it came from the word of God. And Moses would tell you that all you got to do is look up and live. There was a leper by the name of Naaman. And Naaman would tell you, I was a leper and I sent word to the man of God and asked him to heal me. And the man of God sent word and told me to go down to the River Jordan and dip myself seven times. And I became angry with the man. Why would he tell me to go dip myself in a dirty River Jordan? Why didn't he come lay his hands on me? But somebody told Naaman, if he had told you a hard thing, you would have done that. But obey the man of God. And sometimes you're not healed because you're being disobedient. But Naaman obeyed the man. The man of God, he went down to the River Jordan and he dipped himself seven times. And when he came up the seventh time, the leprosy was gone. Hezekiah would tell you, I was sick unto death because Isaiah told me to set my house in order that I would die. But Hezekiah would tell you, I turned myself to the wall and I began to pray, and God heard my prayer, and God spoke to Isaiah and turned him around and sent him back into me. And Isaiah told him, Hezekiah, God has heard your prayer and he's going to heal you and add 15 years to your life. Well, come here, blind Bartimaeus. He'll tell you about the healing power of the Lord. He'll tell you, I was on the wayside of life, and there I was there sitting. I was blind and nobody would help me, but I heard that Jesus was coming by, and I heard that Jesus was near, and I began to call on the name of Jesus. I said, Son of David, have mercy on me. They told me to be quiet. I got a little louder. Don't let anybody stop you from calling on God. Don't let anybody stop you from getting your prayer through. Blind Bartimaeus, he got a little louder, and Jesus stopped and said, wait a minute. Go bring him here. Bring him unto me. And the Bible says that blind Bartimaeus, he got up and took off his blind begging clothes. So when you come to God, you got to be willing to take some things off. You got to be willing to leave some things behind. The things that had you blinded. Everybody not your friend. Everybody don't love you. Everybody's not concerned about you. But make your way to Jesus, because the Lord's healing touch. There were 10 lepers, and I'm leaving you now. There were 10 lepers. They saw Jesus coming. They began to cry loud, saying, have mercy on us. Well, why would they cry loud? They couldn't come to Jesus because under the Mosaic law, they had leprosy. It was very contagious. They shouldn't have been out there, but they cried loud, Jesus, have mercy on us. The Lord told them, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says that while they went their way, they were healed. And sometimes while you're going your way, and sometimes when you're going your way in life, God will heal you. And the Bible says the leprosy fell off them, but one of them realized, I gotta go back and tell tell this man thank you. He turned around. So what I'm trying to tell you, when he heals you, don't keep going the wrong way. Turn around and go back and tell him thank you. Turn around. He'll pick you up. He'll turn you around. He'll place your feet on higher ground. And Jesus said, wait a minute. I see the one. Where are the other nine? Well, they're not ten. So what I want you to know, if won't nobody else praise him, you better praise him. If won't nobody else tell him thank you, you better tell him thank you. Because of the Lord's healing touch, there's no sickness or disease or problem that the Lord can't handle. You ought to shout right now and say, Lord, heal me. Shout it again, Lord, heal me. Jesus would never leave anybody sick or bound that wanted to be healed or be delivered. The Bible says in Acts 10 and 38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God was with him. The Lord's healing touch. When I tell you about this story about this certain woman back in the gospel according to Mark, and there at chapter 5 and there at verse 25, it says a certain woman, we don't know her name, but we know her condition. We know how long she had it. The Bible says she had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time to be bound by the devil. 12 years she had been battling her sickness. 12 years is a long time when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. 12 years is a long time. 12 months is a long time. 12 weeks is a long time. 12 days is a long time. 12 hours is a long time. 12 minutes can be a long time. 12 seconds can be a long time. But the Bible says that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing better but grew worse. And that's like the devil. Before it gets better, sometimes it gets worse. You've been praying and fasting and asking God to do it, and it seems like it hadn't happened. You saying, wait a minute, God, I know you heard me, I know you helped me, but where are you, God? But don't you worry and don't you fret. The Lord God I serve, he's never left me yet. He'll come in and make a way. Yes, he will. He'll come in and heal you, whatever is going on in your life. And the Bible says that when she had suffered all these things, she heard of Jesus and came in the press behind and touched his garment. Well, what does the Bible mean? She came in the press. There were a lot of people around Jesus, but she didn't allow that to stop her. I can imagine in my sanctified soul that when she got there, the crowd was there. When she got there, the disciples were there. And I can imagine in her own feeble way, she began to push and go through that crowd. I can hear her saying, get out of the way, Matthew. Get out of the way, John. Get out of the way, Peter. Get out of the way, James. Get out of the way, crowd. I gotta get to Jesus, cause you don't know like I know of all I've been through. I've been through hell and water, but I gotta get to the Lord. And the Bible says that she said, if I could just touch but his garment. She didn't have an invitation. She didn't have a reservation, but she had belief in her heart. And that's all you gotta. to have. If you want the Lord's healing touch, you got to believe in your heart. And the Bible says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall behold. And straightway, somebody says straightway. Well, what does straightway mean? It means immediately. When she touched the Lord, and straightway the fountain of her blood, it was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. In other words, straightway, immediately, right then, God gave her what she needed. Anybody need a straightway miracle? Anybody need a straightway blessing? Anybody need some straightway help? Well, by faith, what I want you to do is reach up and touch. Reach up right now and say, Lord, I'm touching the hem of my Savior, the hem of his garment. I'm reaching, Lord. You better reach like you want it. You better reach like you need it. All the stuff you've been through, you better reach with both hands and say, Lord, I need you now. I need you, Lord, because can't nobody help you like Lord. Can't nobody help you like the Lord can. And the Bible says that Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, and turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? In other words, Jesus, he knew that somebody had touched him by faith. Look around you. You got people around you, but everybody not reaching, and everybody not touching, and everybody don't have the faith. But be like this woman, and when you touch him, he'll know that you touched him. And what I love about God, when you touch the Lord, he'll touch you back. When you touch the Lord, he'll give you your miracle. When you touch the Lord, he'll give your healing. And I claim it right now. I declare it right now. I say it right now. My sister and my brother, you will be better. You will get better. God is going to heal you. Everything in your life, those of you that are going to get tests done, I claim healing now. Those of you on medication, I claim healing now. Those that need surgery, I claim healing now. Those about your finances, I claim now. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thou soul prospereth. I claim right now, but my God shall supply your every need. I claim right now, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I claim right now, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright before you. I claim right now that no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. I claim right now, you can speak those things that be not as though they were. I claim right now that I will bless the Lord at all times. My praises, his praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad, and oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. And I'm telling you now, the Lord's healing touch is in the room. The Lord's healing touch is in the atmosphere. I set it in the atmosphere with the word of God, with faith in God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I'm saying, Lord, we're seeking you now. And you said, Lord, if we delight ourselves in you, you'll give us the desires of our heart. You said, Lord, if I ask, it shall be given. If I seek, it shall be found. If I knock, you will answer. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking, but most of all, I'm gonna give you praise. I'm gonna praise you, Lord, like never before. Because if it had not been for God with me, if it had not been for God blessing me, you don't know what the devil tried to do. But I'm here to tell you, I gotta give him praise. I gotta tell him thank you, because God, I praise you. And God, I thank you for your healing touch. I thank you, Lord, over and over again. Now give your God some praise. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Well, understand that in this particular biblical account of this woman with the issue of blood, I told you that she didn't have a reservation or an invitation to come to Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus was on his way somewhere else. And it seems like God is on his way somewhere else in your life. Because before the woman showed up, the Bible says Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick. Come see about her. And the Bible says that Jesus agreed to go to Jairus' house. So here's Jesus and the crowd with him going to Jairus' house. And the Bible says that now this woman with the issue of blood shows up. Jesus is on his way somewhere else. But the woman had faith enough to say, I don't have to stop him. All I got to do is touch him. All I got to do is just touch him. And when I touch him, I get my miracle. But she didn't realize, you can't sneak a miracle from God. You can't steal a miracle from God. Because when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said, wait a minute. Who touched me? And they're the disciples. They're not looking in the spiritual. They tried to be sarcastic. Master, with all these people around you, bumping into you, surely somebody touched you. She said, no, I'm not talking about that kind of touch. I'm not talking about somebody bumped into me. Somebody touched me with faith. When Jesus turned around, there was that woman trembling. Jesus told her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. And while Jesus was talking to the woman, somebody came from Jairus' house saying, trouble the master no longer. Your daughter has died. And it seems like that. While the Lord is busy over here, what you need has died over here. And Jesus overheard the conversation. And what did he tell Jairus? He could have easily said, well, you know, Jairus, I wish I could have got there in time. I could have helped her. But you know, death got there before I did.
But see, what you don't understand is death cannot happen in the presence of Jesus. Understand that. Death cannot happen in the presence of Jesus. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he died first. The thieves didn't die first. Jesus died first. So death cannot happen in the presence of Jesus. So now Jesus overhears the conversation. He tells Jairus, just be not afraid, but only believe. I'm saying that to you, be not afraid, but only believe. Believe the Lord's healing touch. So when Jesus gets to the house, there they are, weeping, mourning, and crying. They had given up. When others around you have given up, don't you give up. You have faith in God. Jesus said, she's not dead, she's asleep. They stopped crying and started laughing at Jesus. So what if they laugh at your faith? You keep faith in God.
He was there. Waiting patiently in line, he was there all the time. When I felt like giving up, he know what I'm talking about. Oh,
step. Jesus was there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Many times I tried to do it on my own, realizing after a while all of my strength was gone. Oh, nobody was around. I called on my family. Oh, some of them couldn't be found. That's when I had to depend on Jesus. I had to lean on Him. I had to call on Him. And He answered my prayer. Can I get a witness? Won't He answer prayer this evening? Won't He answer prayer this evening? Have you tried Jesus? Oh, no, no. I just want to let you know, don't worry. Because He's there. He's there. When people lie on you, right there. When they talk about you, He's right there. When they grin at your face, the tail lies behind your back. Don't worry. Oh, don't worry, don't worry. Feel that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that, 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 I know that. All you have to do is call on Him.
Call on Him, call on Him.
Don't worry about what your neighbor said. Call
on Him.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.